Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, my name is Miles Tedek. I live in Fort Worth, Texas here, and I am an entrepreneur, founder, and CEO of LifeLeaf Remedies. It's a health and wellness brand, and it's all based on natural products, natural remedies, things that people can connect with and are familiar with and understand how they can help them. So, you know, cut through some of the more complicated stuff and make it easy for people to understand how to take care of themselves.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea for this business?
Well, I was in the industry. I was in the hemp CBD industry. Let's see here. At the end of 2017, and then the brand that I was with, I rode all the way through June 21. So several years. There was a really interesting cycle there. You know, there's a lot of success in CBD in 2018 and 2019, and we certainly got our, you know, taste of that. But then, you know, the pandemic offered a whole, you know, unexpected bag of challenges that we weren't able to overcome. But the one thing that I saw from that brand and from that industry is what the products were capable of. So it wasn't really CBD and you know, cannabinoids on their own. It was really what they were doing in combination with other natural ingredients. So when I saw that and I saw that those products were still working, right? The circumstances and the environment had changed so much, but the product had not failed us. So I'd seen that and I'd seen it help a lot of people even outside of the cannabis industry. And what I felt like we needed and we were missing was a less intimidating option. You know, one thing in the cannabis industry that, you know, they're good at is talking to themselves. You know, they like to talk about the cannabinoids and the plant, and it's great because it's a great conversation. You can learn a lot from hearing that if you can keep up, right? But the, you know, your standard consumer is not speaking cannabinoids, right? They're not really even speaking many ingredients. They just want to know, is this good for me? Is it bad for me? And, you know, what does this do? And what does it not do? You know, that kind of thing. How much does it cost? So, you know, I needed something that was accessible to people who weren't comfortable with cannabis yet. So we started LifeLeaf after the other brand had shut down, and we carried on some concepts from the previous brand, but we also kind of evolved from that. So before, we had CBD paired with melatonin, and we found that that was doing really well. So I'm like, okay, well, we've got something here. What else can we benefit from pairing CBD with? And that's really what spun us down the path with my formulator and manufacturer, really bright person that I've gotten to work with for several years. And he's got decades of manufacturing before he ever entered the cannabis area. So really bright individual that knows what he's doing. And, you know, he's like, hey, here's a few things that I think are going to make a lot of sense and going to work well. And I'm a runner and an active person myself. So I said, well, let's try them on me. You know, let's see if this stuff can work on me. Everything has, right? I tell people all the time that I'm my biggest customer because I use all of our products. I love our products. They actually, you know, have a purpose in my life. And I can demonstrate that. I try to demonstrate that on our social media and, you know, really through podcasts like this. But, you know, that's what it takes, right? People want to see products that work for them. They want to see what they're going to do. They want to take as much mystery out of it as possible. And a lot of people are fighting something right now, right? There's whether it's an illness or a pain or, you know, just like anxiety, you know, all sorts of stuff people are fighting right now to try to feel better every day. And that's what that's our motto is feel better today. We're trying to build products that can help people feel better today.
Amazing. So in terms of your customers, like, are they mostly buying direct to consumer from your website, or are you guys sold like in retailers? Like, what does that look like for you?
Well, right now it's mostly on the website. We are available at a few local DFW retailers. Shout out to Las Colinas Pharmacy. They're our best store right now. And some great people in there. So if you're in that area, definitely stop in, say hi to those folks and check out LifeLeaf products on the shelf. But Yeah, it's mostly on our website right now. We are working on a few other areas to try to get into more stores. I don't want to jinx anything, so I won't spread any rumors yet. But we want to make ourselves more available to the runner community specifically. So we're working on a few areas like that to get into some stores that make sense. But yeah, so that's primarily where you can find us.
Well, I guess being mostly online, if you guys run lots of ads, or how you got in front of people to this point, being mostly an e-commerce business?
That's a great question. That's been the crux of my challenge, right? As a startup, and especially a startup in these days, and there are some limitations with supplements and with CBD and stuff like that. So there's a lot of limitations on what we can do and how we can communicate. One thing that I've really embraced, like I said, I'm a runner. So getting out there and running different events, I take the product with me. I use it. I talk about it. And that's been a great way of getting more people drawn to the website. It sounds like kind of a grassroots, feet on the ground kind of effort. It really is, because it takes kind of a story, I think, for people to connect with this product. Now, we've done trade shows, and we've tried to get in front of people in other ways, but unless you have a problem you're trying to fix and a specific desire to do that with a natural solution, you're probably just not interested. You know what I mean? There's an ocean of products out there these days. And so it's a tough thing, but when we can tell the story and we can get the product in people's hands, I see the difference it makes every time. And it sounds really corny and cheesy and all that, but that is really what keeps me going. Like, it is, being an entrepreneur is hard. It's really hard.
For sure.
So you need kind of that intrinsic fuel.
So, essentially for your business, it's been mostly word of mouth, because you are limited to advertisements, because of, CBD and Facebook and all these kinds of restrictions.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? It kind of forces us to be better. There's probably 10 years ago, there's a pretty standard path for an entrepreneur, right? Especially one in a less controversial industry. I usually throw t-shirts out there, right? If I think I've got a good design eye and I want to, make some shirts, 10 years ago, I get on there, I throw a few shirts up on Facebook, put some, ad dollars behind them. I'm going to figure out, one, whether my product's any good or not, but two, pretty quickly, who's responding. And we just can't do that right now. It's unfortunate that we can't do that, but it does force us to be better. It forces us to figure out what is going to work. And the first question you have to answer, and again, this kind of goes back to just the gut check of being an entrepreneur, is how motivated are you to do this, right? Because it's going to be hard. And if you're intrinsically motivated, then you'll be able to press through what it takes. But then you have to sit down and go, all right, what are our options? What can we do? We can post on social media. So we do that. I won't say anything about shadow banning or any of that kind of stuff. I think there's plenty of conversations about that stuff out there. What we can do is what we can do. So if I'm being shadow banned, oh well, I'm just going to have to deal with it and find another way around. But in doing that, we're going to find the next way around. And so I think that there is actually a larger challenge in marketing that's being highlighted here right now. We're not allowed to do certain things, but I would argue that a lot of these things aren't as effective as they used to be anyway. Facebook ads and things like that. Google ads is even kind of facing a challenge with, ChatGPT and AI out there. So there's everything sort of like up in the air from a marketing perspective. So it's a good time for us to have this challenge to figure out what's going to work beyond, what's been working the last 10, 15 years. We're posting on social. I try to tell a story. It's tough because it's posting on social is a lot of work. But then, the other thing is we have another podcast. We have our own podcast called Better by Nature. And it's just people telling stories about how they've embraced natural remedies. And it's a wide range of natural remedies. It's not just talking about cannabis or CBD or, maybe like a vegan diet or whatever it is. It's a wide range of things. It's people that have embraced running. It's people that have embraced farming, gardening, just all sorts of things. And, that's one thing that I really love about this brand that we've started is I can embrace things that aren't my product, but are still on brand. You know what I mean? Like, I can tell you, hey, man, you got to drink more water, get out there and get some sun, right? Like, whatever it is, go for a walk. You don't even have to run, right? Just go get some oxygen. Those are all natural remedies. They're all available to us. And a lot of times those are things that can solve problems we have. So, it's, it really is truly building a lifestyle brand, which is not a quick thing to do. You know, it's not a short path for anybody to do that unless you've got a bazillion dollars, which most people don't. But there is sort of that, again, that fulfillment that's behind it, that natural passion that's fueling that. And when I can live that, then it gives me that motivation to figure out what's going to work. So we've been trying a lot of stuff, bumped our head on a few things. SEO is important. I will say that SEO is very important. We're working on some website developments now, but what we're really having to do strategically, and I assume that that's kind of the crux of your question, right? Like strategically, correct, yeah. What are you having to do with these restrictions? We're having to find ways for people to have the conversation for us. You know what I mean? So when I say we're targeting the runner community now, well, if I can get, you know, here, product here, sorry, shameless plug. I got our, you know, Deep Comforts product here. This is a cream that helps with pain. So like an icy hot kind of comparison. If I can put that in a runner's hands, running's important to them. This improves running for them. It immediately clicks, right? And now they want to tell a fellow runner about it. And so that's where, if we can find those pockets of opportunity, that's what we have to hit. So the runner community specifically is pretty social. So it actually offers a lot of opportunities that if like, so before the first sort of phase of the business, we were targeting millennial parents, which is pretty broad. You know, it seems specific, but it actually, there's a lot of people and there's a lot of people under that umbrella. So when you have limited forms of communication, that's not going to be where your dollars are most effective for marketing. You know what I mean? You're casting these pennies out into an ocean and you're just kind of hoping for something. Whereas now what I can do is I can be a participant in the community for one. I am a millennial parent. But as a runner, I can get in the community where these folks are invested in this specific thing, right? Being a millennial parent, you're invested in a lot of stuff. You got a lot on your plate. You got a lot coming at you every day. Kids are wild, man. And trying to get somebody to understand that here's this product that can help you with that is tough. That is a very, very tough thing. It sounds simple. It is not. Can I tell a story to illustrate the challenge of that?
Sure. Yeah.
So one of the best case studies of our product is actually my mom. And this is, you know, it sounds kind of, you know, oh, here we go. Just hear me out. So my mom, obviously I've known my mom my whole life. So she's somebody that when I say she gets sick all the time, I can stand on that ground. Like, this woman gets sick too much. And it got to a point, and this was after I had started LifeLeaf, and I have a product for, you know, an immune strengthening product called Immune Armor. And I believe in this stuff, man. Like I said, I tried it, I put it to work, and it worked for me. So I put it on, you know, under our brand. And, you know, this was back in, let's say, early 2022. So, you know, COVID's still kind of a thing, more so than it is now. And we were getting to the point, and like I said, I got kids, and I'm like, Mom, you're either sick or the kids are sick, and this is getting ridiculous. You're not seeing your grandkids. This is ridiculous. Like, you got a problem here. You got to fix this problem. So I have bet my life on this company. We have an Immune Armor, you know, of supplement here for you. Hey, will you try it? And she, you know, drags her feet, rolls her eyes. Okay, I'm having to twist her arm. And she has been sick once since then. Once. Now, that's just one case, you know, very anecdotal, right? But the point being is, okay, I got something here. Now, how do I replicate that as a marketer? How do I can I scale that? No, I can't scale that. I don't have this relationship that goes back a lifetime with everybody. And I certainly don't have the ability to twist their arm into buying my product. So how do I get the product in front of her in a way that she would have bought it anyway? So, all right, well, if it's at Walmart, would she buy it? If it's at Target, would she buy it? No, she didn't believe it was there. You know what I mean? So that's what you have to get to. And that's the honest question I had to answer about millennial parents is, do they believe that this product even can exist that can help them? Or have they already written it off? No, I've tried it all that snake oil. I can't, it's not going to help me. Most people are under that category. Now, I've tried it all, can't help me. So that's a very, very tough thing to overcome, especially when you're very limited on your marketing dollars. So now you got to decide what challenge you're going to try to take on, because I can't take on that challenge. That challenge requires probably, you know, multiple marketing touch points, which is hundreds of thousands of dollars if you do it right. It's just crazy. So that's what led me to the runner community, right? So there's a few things here that are at play. There's a tightening economy, right? millennial parents, their budget, whether they're making a lot of money or not, their budget is getting tighter for the majority of cases. And that's an even tougher barrier to overcome. It's like, all right, look, you can bang your head against a brick wall or find a path through. Well, runners are still investing in themselves and their hobby. So that's one thing. I'm not asking them to invest in something that they're not already probably looking at, right? Like a lot of runners use Icy Hot, BioFreeze, these types of things. So when I introduce a product like this with a competitive price, I'm just replacing something that's already there, right? I'm not trying to make new space. So that's an opportunity. But then being a participant in the community, I've got a certain level of attention that people will give me, you know, and so that's where you can't buy that, right? You have to just do it. You have to be it. And, you know, somebody who's not in the right shape to do it can hire somebody to do it, right? But so that's what we found is like this community is a place that's accessible socially, right? I don't have to pay every time I want to go get in front of a group of runners, right? There's all sorts of social runs going on around town and different forms and fashion, social clubs and stuff like that. Just participate, right? So if I can do that, then that's a great start. And then from there, like I said, we're working on some stores right now that hopefully we can get into and kind of amplify that exposure. But yeah, that's the solution for us, man. And it's really kind of an old school answer, right? Because we're not, you know, putting ad dollars towards anything right now. We're not doing anything that's really stereotypical at all, right? Maybe SEO, like the SEO investment.
Yeah, SEO, yeah.
What you about,
be found. Yeah, I was curious, right? Because obviously, you know, so you mentioned SEO, AI, right? Google and AI. So I guess when it comes to AI specifically, does AI play a role currently in your business? And if not, like, where do you think that it could help you out in 2024?
Yeah, it does. But man, are we scratching the surface, right? Like it's hard. I'm impressed by people who have been able to keep up, and you know, it's not even for a lack of awareness for me. It's just like, man, it's a lot. So AI does help me write blogs. It does not just write the blog for me. That's for sure. And anybody reading our blogs can tell that, right? I put personality in there. I'm writing all of the ones in the last year have been written by me. So, but I use AI to help me, right? And I think that it would be foolish to not. And there are some purists out there for sure. And I'm good friends with several of them. They have their own writing agencies and copy agencies, all that. They're brilliant people. And they have a very specific advantage that AI has yet to create. The problem is time. It takes them a lot of time to do what they're good at. And I don't need necessarily all of that, right? Like every now and then I want that like just beautiful piece. But for the most part, I just need to hit the right notes and be there consistently. So that's what I've been trying to do with our blog. And it is very much a part of the same strategy I talked about. It's storytelling. It's answering questions that people might have about these products or just about themselves. And we've hit on a few things with
what
like
about
sync
like
and stuff.
But what about like AI for like customer experience? You know, if somebody's
yes.
like landing like on your website, maybe like, you know, for chat, things like that. I mean, you are sort of a category creator, right? I mean, it's like you have so many people that probably just aren't familiar, like you said, right? They don't understand the value of what
right.
you're actually selling.
Yeah, no, that was actually where I was going to go with my answer about where we could do better is I would love to have the time to build an AI chatbot. You know, something that can really answer questions sufficiently. I haven't, unfortunately, invested time in that yet, but it has been very much top of mind because there's a lot of questions that I can't guess at, right? There's a lot of people that will jump on the website and just have a random question about something that a chatbot could definitely satisfy and just haven't gotten there yet. That's really the only answer there is.
For sure. So I guess like in terms of 2024, what would you say is like number one in terms of your goals for the business for this year?
Survive, man. Got to survive. You know, and that requires a combination of things. You know, obviously selling is a part of that, but so is capital raise. So any investors that are interested in this industry, let me know. But yeah, you know, cash is lifeblood of a business. So you got to have cash to survive. I wish I could say we had this treasure trove of cash that we, you know, could guarantee our survival for the next few years. We just don't. We have consistent business, which is great, and we have opportunities that are budding right now that, you know, we chase them down the right way, they're gonna lead to some good growth in our business. But it has to be that, right? It's just a constant battle for survival, and that may sound exhausting, but that's why I say being an entrepreneur is not easy. And that's where we are for 24. You know, fortunately for me, in 2023, we did at the beginning of the year get enough investment to say, hey, we're gonna be alive all year. Regardless of what happens, we don't make a dime, we're going to be alive. This year, that's not the case. We are alive. We've got 6 months of runway, plus we're making revenue. So it is kind of this ongoing thing where it's like, all right, well, we made this revenue this month, so that gives us a little bit more time. All right, now we need to work towards this investment. How much time does that take away from us? So it is a very delicate balance. But if I had to, you know, set that aside and say, what's my goal for 2024? Yeah, that's a good question. I think it would just be to get penetration in these runner retail shops. You know, there's a handful of different ones that people are probably familiar with. And again, I'm not going to jinx anything on myself. But yeah, I mean, I think getting into those shops would make a very big difference for us as a company. And it's also our best opportunity to get our story in front of runners. Because if I can go to these places and participate in these social events that they've got, and I can be a presence, you know, kind of a subject matter expertise for these people to say, hey, what's the difference between this and that? Or what about this product? There's a lot of people that have product suggestions, and you know, those are fun conversations too. But yeah, so that would probably be it, man. Like, let's get in those shops.
For sure. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
Oh, yeah, man. Gosh, that's going to be such a rich question the rest of my life. Probably about the importance of SEO. You know, and I'll say this to anybody who's either early on in their company or thinking about going out there and doing that. If you don't have some kind of SEO knowledge, it's not hard to get. Watch a few YouTube videos. You'll familiarize yourself with some themes, but you need to know the basics of SEO, because that's one thing. And actually, this kind of applies to most areas. So even if you're an SEO expert, but you're blind in another area, you cannot afford to pay somebody to do something that you don't know how to hold them accountable for doing. So give an example of that. And this is no shots fired, but this is actually people who genuinely believe they were doing the best they could do, and they were just misguided because they didn't have a very good SEO knowledge. But so when our website was being built, you know, we had some help from some folks, and they, you know, they were going to help us with some of the SEO side and said, hey, you know, here's the keywords we're going to use for these pages. And, you know, came around like they were using keywords for those pages that we could never hope to rank for, even in the most successful of scenarios. You know, like, there's just certain things you're not going to win, right? Like, we're not going to beat out Mayo Clinic. You know, like for CBD, there's universities and, you know, Webster's Dictionary and stuff like that, that we're just never going to outrank. You're just not going to. And I didn't even know that, right? So from the beginning, I had no idea what we were up against and how much of a battle that can be if you take the wrong path. If you take the right path, you can actually stumble into some big traffic almost accidentally. That's not a guarantee. Please do not base any of your efforts on just blind luck, but it can happen. It absolutely right. can happen. You write a good blog that just all of a sudden hits for several keywords. It's rather unpredictable in that way, right? But having a tool like, and I don't know if you're familiar with SEO tools, but having a tool like a SEMrush, SEMrush.com, yep, or Ahrefs.com. Those two tend to be, I think, the top of the industry. Having a tool like that is like all of a sudden having a GPS. Like, oh, okay, now I know not only like what's ranking where, but I can start to glean on why. I can figure out who's doing good at what. If I want to be good at a keyword, I can go out and I can look it up and I can say, all right, well, do I have any hope at all of being, you know, ranking with this keyword or not? You can find out the volume associated with it. Those are things you really need to be good at e-commerce, right? So if you're a startup and you have to have e-commerce as part of your business, you're going to rely on that. SEO is a huge part of that. I mean, it's really the foundation of it at this point. And having a tool like that, not, or let's say not having a tool like that, is like setting sail in the ocean without a compass or a map. Like, you're just, right, good luck, man. You might land somewhere. You won't know where it is. And so that's what I would say is, you know, don't think that you can afford to pay people to do something that you can't hold them accountable for. You certainly need to pay people to be experts where you are not. And I am not an SEO expert, but I know enough now to hold someone accountable for it. And that would be probably the best piece of advice I could give somebody starting a company.
For sure. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media, I guess, best ways to get in contact with you?
Well, lifeleafremedies.com. That's our website. So definitely check that out. You'll see my face up there. Used to have long hair. Now I cut it off. Still me. But check out the products. We've got some great products, and I would love any questions you have about them. Otherwise, I'm very accessible on LinkedIn, very accessible on Twitter. LinkedIn, you can find me. I mean, just, you know, search my name, MYLES, and my last name, TETEAK. Neither are very common, so you shouldn't have too hard of a time. But yeah, those are probably the best ways to reach me. Email is buried in there somewhere. I guess I don't want to go blasting out the email to everybody, but if you want to find my email, you'll figure it out through those channels. But would love to talk to anybody who's interested in natural remedies, whether it's cannabis or just anything else. That is something that I'm very, very passionate about and would love to, or just small business entrepreneurship in general. Please reach out and let's have some fun talking it up.
Awesome. Well, Miles, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Happy to do it and appreciate you having me. And maybe we need to get you on the Better by Nature podcast.
Sounds good. Awesome. All right. Thank you. All right. Bye.
All right. Take care, man.